How beautiful is that? My goodness. We have been talking about what are called the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous for the last 2 months or so. And today I'm on step 12, even though as I was preparing for this, I realized it can't be the last talk. There needs to be one more beyond it. And I've been framing it as a way to live according to spiritual practice for everyone. Not just for some, but for everyone, as the lyric goes. Because all of us, along a spectrum of severity, are truly addicted to one thing or another, and the one addiction that all of us share is that we really believe that I am this. That I, me, the me that I am is all there is, and that's who I really am. And because of that misidentification, we do things which wind up not serving our greater health and wholeness in the long run. We seek to compensate for things which cannot be compensated for. We seek to justify that programming that would have us believe that this is all there is. And yes, most of us subscribe to some vague notion of an afterlife. It seems most of us kind of sort of do. Not all. And yet, we find when it comes time to cross that threshold of a greater ongoing of soul, we continue to do things which keep us here for as long as possible, even when we are in great pain and misery. There's an expression in 12-step work, and all of a sudden, it just went out of my head.
Let go and let God.
Let go and let God is one of them. Let's just mosey on over that. Oh, it's continuing to do the same thing, except expecting a different result. Continuing to do the same thing, expecting a different result. Continuing to learn to do the wrong things better and better and better, which when I finally learned that expression, I cannot tell you how many times I've had profound insight in the workplace about I'm getting better and better and better and more efficient at doing this, but this ain't the gig. I really need to be putting all of my attention over here, but I'm getting so good at doing this, which is irrelevant. It's my identity. It's in the American expression, it's ignoring, watch the pennies and the dollars will take care of themselves. It's just kind of getting all messed up in that equation totally. And so you don't even have pennies or dollars. 12 steps, a way of practicing, a way of living is living according to spiritual principle. One of the tools that we have at our disposal is spiritual mind treatment. We talked about that. But that is not the only way to live spiritually. Let me go through. Last week we talked about working to keep a growing awareness of a personal, immediate, direct contact with our higher power, the God of our understanding, the mystery, whatever it is you seek to call it. And these are the steps, these are the things that I tend to focus on, is always being working on creating something and unfolding my prayer life around that. Healing what might need to be healed? Yes, always. But if I'm not also working on creating something and using the affirmative prayer practice that we are involved in here, then I'm missing a huge opportunity. I continue to read things that inspire me. I continue as a spiritual practice to focus on what I'm doing. When I come to work on a Sunday morning, I'm here for one thing, and that's to get my praise on. I'm not worried about what I didn't do this morning. I'm not worried about, even though I know exactly where I'm going to lunch, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about when I'm going to get there. I'm not thinking about next week. 100% of my attention is here. And I'll tell you a secret. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy this work. Because I know for at least 20 minutes a week, I have to be completely focused on one thing, and that's talking to you in a reasonable way. I continue to make the effort, and this is difficult for me personally, to associate with people. Like many human beings, and especially men, as we get older, we tend to isolate. And that is not something that promotes a greater health and wholeness. We tend to stick to ourselves. And yet we know the people that are happiest on the planet are the people that have rewarding relationships. As much as we love our cats, they're not enough. I cut Sophie's toenails this week. It was another huge breakthrough in my relationship. Treatment works. There was no blood this time. It was a miracle. And then what I also continue to do is to stay aware of wonder, to marvel at things as they are. This is what living according to spiritual practice is really about. If you're fairly new here and if you think that there's something you have to memorize or that there's some book that you absolutely have to read or, you know, because of whatever, you don't. You need to be aware of wonder and delight in the way things are. It's why this divine Christmas tree is here in prime position. What more do you need? I mean, really, what do you need? Dr. Walker's great teaching was about enoughness, yes? Is this enough? Yes. Does it touch your heart? Sure. Sure. Reclaim a sense of enoughness and delight in the way things are. Step 12, let us go on with that. As it is written, step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, which is practicing every day of your life, incident by incident, we tried to carry this message to all and to practice the principles in all our affairs. Having had a spiritual awakening, what do you suppose that really means for any of us? The only things that we generally can relate to are movies, plays, paintings, and whatnot. No angel ever crashed through my ceiling and shone a light on me. I've never had one of those kinds of moments. The Holy Ghost doesn't send me candy grams to tell me what to do. I'm in this science of mine because it appeals to the linear part of my consciousness. I've made decisions in my life, and when I have given myself fully to those decisions, I know that the mystery has met me more than halfway when I have completely given myself to it. And so I am always aware and in awe of the mystery. But spiritual awakening for most of us, dear friends, is at long last, it's a sense of freedom. You could say that's all, or praise God. But it is a sense of freedom, a sense of liberation, of no longer becoming a slave to whatever false idea it is that you have been dragging around with you like Marley's ghosts chains, you know? Whatever false idea that is, whatever expectation you had that turned into a festering resentment, whatever it is a sense of freedom and liberation. I've mentioned this so many times, but in her great book in 1892, Emily Cady, the first chapter of that book is Bondage or Freedom, Which? Which will you choose? Because it's completely up to you in this lifetime. This is what the gift of consciousness is. To understand that we are part divine and we are part animal. And as best we can, if we find that sweet, gentle spot between the two extremes of our angelic nature and our animal passions, if we can find a place to live in that sweet spot, we will have an optimal experience as a human being in this world. The spiritual practices, such as they are, give us a way to find center, to find the sweet spot. The spiritual practice of being aware and alert and responsive to, you know, whatever I was doing is not working for me anymore. If it's substance abuse or belief in a God that has disappointed you, whatever it is you were holding on to that you really had no right to hold on to begin with, if you are willing to give that up and say there must be a better way, then you can begin to create a life. You can begin, and you will have confidence. You know, I realized that I was eligible to do this particular work in like 98, because before that, I thought that I really thought that I had to be perfect, and I had to be evidently flawless, that you would not be able to see any flaws in my character before I could do this. Then I realized all I have is a responsibility to tell you what I have learned so far and to let you know that the effort is worth it. And that gives me agency, personally, to do this work. And friends, this is what 12-step work is. I feel absolutely certain that the great people of our lifetime and the great people of story, their ministries, their lives, their gifts to our culture were all what we call 12-step work. Having had a spiritual awakening of my own enoughness, and as a result of claiming responsibility of my life, we try to carry the message to all and to practice these principles to be in integrity in every part of my life. Clearly, this is the purpose and the reason for the stories about Jesus, since we're all in that season. Not Jesus necessarily, but Jesus, who was doing God knows what for however long that was. And he has an experience. All of you may not know this story, where he has an experience at an advanced age of 33, where he steps into the River Jordan. And whenever you hear about water in the Bible, it's a story about consciousness. When he immerses himself in consciousness and hears some message which he interprets at, I am the beloved son. And whatever the mystery is well pleased with me exactly as I am. Holy cow, this is new information. This is what that ministry is about. 1,000 years before his ministry in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, it is written, what does the Lord require of you? Does the Lord require burnt sacrifice and holy oil? No. What the Lord requires is that you love mercy, you do justice, and walk humbly with your God. So it takes 1,000 years for that message to become mainstreamed, and Jesus gets it. And he begins a ministry of 12-step work and says, listen, you don't have to do anything other than don't hurt nobody. As I say, don't hurt nobody, don't eat no dirt. And accept yourself as being wonderfully and fearfully made. This is the whole story. He does that for a couple of years and then he leaves the scene. How are you doing 12-step work in your life? No matter what it is you may have learned, are you making the effort to carry, to share, to not be embarrassed about, to invite people that you know into the world that has some meaning for you? I am not looking at anybody in particular, but generally I know as a minister who's involved in 12-step work. And how do I know that? It's because they invite their friends. As a rule, they're the only people that are not embarrassed about inviting their friends. For whatever reason, most of us are still very shy and embarrassed about talking to friends and, hey, I love my church, it rocks my world, come with me sometime. We simply can't do that. That seems too hard. And yet I know folks, I don't know what program they're working, but I know people who habitually invite others, even if they only come once, they are working their program. And their program is sharing the blessings that they have received in this way and in that way. Life is very simple. Too damn bad, most of us have to get to 60 before we realize that and accept it and embody it. It's really quite simple. But man, it's hard. It is really hard. And that is why we're here. That's why we're here. To encourage you to work your program. And what is your program? Your life. Your joy. Your whatever it is that makes you still want to be on this planet. Not the things you have to do, but your willingness to reframe your have-tos to get-tos. I think that's one of the big shifts. All of us experienced that. Anybody who's in this room had to go to church when they were a kid. And as soon as you leave home, I mean, I grew up in a house, as long as you're in my house, mister, you will... These are the rules, and if you're not in this house and you pay your own bills, you can do whatever you want. And that's when we all stop going to church. Or stop going to class. And most of us realized that wasn't working for us either. So we made another choice and started looking around. Great. Church becomes a get-to, not a have-to. And what a pleasure that is. You know, as I say, life, it really is quite simple. But it requires vigilance. Let's go back. It requires a willingness. First, the very first step of all is willingness. Willingness to tell the truth to ourselves, to look at the way things are, and you say, you know what, this is so good. I get this. This part of my life is great. But man, eh. If we can even admit to ourselves that I am so really not doing my best with that. Do it. Do it. That's what's in front of you to do. That's what is yours to do, mine to do, are the things that are right in front of me that are holding me back from having a less burdened sense of joy and life. The choice is ours, always. It is always ours to make. And as Martha Graham said, this is man's burden, privilege and terror. Man's privilege and terror. And it's unique to the species. So as long as you're here, why not embrace it? You know, that's the way it is. You're waiting for the white knight to come to pay your bills and solve your problems? He ain't coming. If you're waiting for serendipity to show up to get you the next job, she ain't coming either. Assuming full responsibility for what ideas I have, for what gifts that I have. This will give us the thing that we so crave. It's a sense of self, a sense of enoughness, and real freedom and liberation. As we approach the end of the year, and you know, calendars are not necessarily meaningful. And yet there are energies that we as people have around holidays and celebrations. People have great sense of hope around New Year. Know what you hope for as you approach this new year. If nothing else, know what you hope for and be willing to work for it. It is so worth your effort. God bless you, friends. I so appreciate you.